I've invested into businesses that haven't been my core focus and got distracted. I've made plenty of mistakes along the way.
Hello, fellow risk takers, and welcome to my worst investment ever. Stories of loss to keep you winning. In our community, we know that to win in investing, you must take risk, but to win big, you've got to reduce it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm on a mission to help 1 million people reduce risk in their lives. And I want to thank you for joining that mission today. Fellow risk takers, this is your worst podcast host, Andrew Stotz from A Stotz Academy. And I'm here with featured guest, Chris Ball. Chris, are you ready to join the mission?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I'm excited to get you on. In particular, I'm interested in, you know, what you're doing with your work. So I think I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. But Chris started his career in 2004 with KPMG as a tax advisor. After 7 years with KPMG, Chris moved to the Middle East to join the Devere Group, where he continued his work as an IFA, starting in their Abu Dhabi offices and eventually headed up their Qatar operations for the group, dealing with high net worth and ultra high net worth individuals. For the listeners, that's you and me. Chris then transitioned and founded Hoxton Capital Management in 2018, and that group's sole emphasis is helping high net worth and ultra high net worth clients with borderless global financial advice. Chris's specialty is assisting individuals with their retirement planning needs. Chris has 3 children and a lovely wife, and you can see a little picture for those that can see the video. For those that can't, there's a little picture there that says daddy over his right shoulder. Chris, take a minute and tell us about the unique value that you are bringing to this wonderful world.
So I'd like to think one of the unique values that I'm bringing at the moment is providing opportunity for others, Andrew. You know, I'm very fortunate. As you said, I'm a financial advisor, and I built a company from £30 million of assets to about £1.6 billion in 6 years. And I've coached individuals on how to become better at managing their own finances, but also coached a lot of individuals to help their clients manage their finances themselves. And we do that every single day. Mm. Hopefully, you know, providing a lot of opportunity is one of the skills that I bring.
And how does a typical person find you?
So a typical person finds us through multiple different ways. So they can find us, you know, by going to our website, www.hoxtoncapital.com. They can look me up on LinkedIn. Or, you know, sometimes we, you know, get people just coming into our office in Dubai or UK or US or Australia and you know, looking for advice.
And, you know, with so much assets that you're working on with your clients, maybe you could tell us, like, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you've seen some of your, you know, let's say a couple of general issues or problems that, you know, for our listeners, they may be able to sort out after listening to this.
Look, I've made many bad investment mistakes myself, you know, personally. You know, I've made them from when I first started out my career. I was very young and fresh. I got caught in 2008. I was doing some spread betting at the time. Didn't really go to plan. So, you know, personally, I lost for me what was a lot of money at the time. I lost £10,000, and I'll never forget that. And it made me think, actually, surely there's a better way to do things, you know, and now I invest and try and hold things for the longer term. And, you know, that's my philosophy and what I work on with my clients. You know, in terms of business, I've made some really bad mistakes as well. You know, for going in for 6 years now, you know, we've wasted $750,000 on bad hiring mistakes. And, you know, that's one of the, not a regret, because I think as long as you learn from these mistakes, they shouldn't happen. But, you know, not only is it the amount of money that you waste on these things, but also the time. You know, I've invested into businesses that haven't been my core focus and got distracted. I've made plenty of mistakes along the way. I think as long as you're learning from the mistakes and they don't cripple and ruin you completely, then, you know, it's good.
So let's talk about some of the lessons that you've learned. I mean, like, yeah. I think about the, you know, spread betting is a great one to think about, you know, pretty simple lessons when you get excited about doing that. But maybe you could just go through some of the lessons that you've learned from the different ones that you've just described.
So the spread betting one was easy. It was don't go into markets that you don't understand. Obviously, on the way up before 2008, it was a pretty good upwards trajectory. And I think you get very cocky and confident in your own abilities, when really it was just pure luck and I was riding off momentum. So, you know, I learned the hard way there, but I'd rather have learned then than now, I suppose. You know, with hiring, the lesson that I learned there is if they're not 100% right, Andrew, then don't hire them. If they're 99% right, they're probably not right. Mm. So amount of time, the amount of money that you invest into people, you know, we operate in a people business. Our business is service-based. It's all around working with individuals who work with clients. If we don't employ the right individuals, then we have unhappy clients, which means we don't have a great business. So unless they're 100% right, you know, we don't deal with them. And then on, you know, the last one I mentioned, you know, investing into businesses that hadn't, you know, that weren't my focus. I've learned I've either got to be extremely confident in the management team, not just the idea of the business, but the people executing it, because that's what it comes down to. Or it has to be a core focus of mine and I'm in charge and I'm doing it all day, every day. I think playing at things never gets you a good result. And, you know, you've got to be 100% dedicated and focused in what you're doing.
It would be interesting to talk about the second mistake that you've talked about the hiring, because I know that plenty of the listeners, you know, struggle with the same thing. And recently I had a former guest come back on and talk about his book that he wrote called Power Failure. And it's the story of the collapse of General Electric, the rise and fall of General Electric, William Cohen. And Bill talked about, you know, we talked about Jack Welch a lot, who he interviewed for that book and all that. But also he interviewed Jeff Immelt. And what Jack Welch said right from the beginning of that book, right from the kickoff, when he sat down with him to do his first interview with him, he said, I screwed up by hiring this guy. Jack said that of his decision to hire Jeff Immelt. And one of the things is that when you're in the hiring frenzy, in the excitement of the hiring, it's hard, you know, and I can imagine if we went back in time to the times that you said, this guy's the right guy, let's get him on, that you would have been convinced. And I want to talk about what you learned from that so that somebody who's in that process right now can get something like, what is it, you know, that you can specifically do to not have that problem happen?
I think for me, you know, I suppose that the example you gave of General Electric is, you know, is a really good one. And that's like the ultra top level. You know, you get those mistakes wrong, it really cascades down. You know, fortunately enough, I don't have to make those kind of decisions for myself. But, you know, we were just talking about the podcast and we were talking about how you've been half German, you know, you were ultra process driven. And I think for me, that was what we was lacking from our hiring process. It was actually just having a proper process in place, because I can meet you, think you're a nice guy, you know, we get on well, and then, you know, maybe, you know, a job offer's put forward, but actually having a rigorous process where we now test, we then have a first interview, we have a second interview, we compare notes, and most importantly, we get references of people that they've worked directly for, has completely streamlined and got rid of a lot of people that we maybe would have hired just by speaking to them normally. And, you know, that's not a bad thing that we're taking on less people. It just means we're taking on, you know, the right people. We've employed over 500 people during our time and over 6 years. And we've got just over 300 that are with us now. We got fat, like, you know, a lot of companies do. And then we had to cut down and, you know, we saw that. The other thing that I'd say, Andrew, as well, is hiring and firing fast. If they're not right and you spot it, just trying to keep giving people chance after chance or trying to fit around peg into a square hole doesn't work. So if they're not right, it's better for you as a business, but it's also better for them, because otherwise they're wasting their time and their opportunity to grow as well in something that is right for them.
Yeah. One of the things I do for lower levels people is I hire students. Mm. So I teach at university, number one, and number two, I have online courses that I teach. And my online valuation masterclass bootcamp is tough as hell. And I specifically designed it to be tough because it's my style, number one. You know, like, I don't come and waste my time. You want to learn valuation, you're going to learn it all here in 6 weeks. And if you can't make it, we kick people out. It's a 30% kick out, you know, 70% survival rate. But the people that survive really have proven themselves. And so I tried to, you know, and I'm looking at, for one of my businesses, how do we create a contest or a competition for younger people to compete in, to do the thing that we know how to do? We train them a bit, create the competition, get them going in it, and then try to put big prizes in the competition so that it's a real serious thing. And then, if I get a lot of people, the other thing I do is, of course, I then reference, you know, send those people to either my sponsors or friends that ask me for good people. But that would be one thing. Maybe it's not so much the case in more senior positions, but for the junior positions, it's definitely been something that's worked for me.
Yeah, I can definitely see how that works. And I really like that idea of the course and going through it. And, you know, you really get a chance to see who's really committed and who's, you know, just thinking that they want to do it.
Yeah. And in fact, I always say for people that are like coaches and other things, I say you really need to create a 30-minute, 60-minute, 3-hour, whatever that is, course. And then say that the only way you can work with me is if you go through that.
Mm.
And all of a sudden you'll find out, you put 100 people in there and 20 of them will make it through.
Yeah.
And those are the guys, the men and women that make it through that I want to talk to.
Yeah.
Simple. Maybe just, I just wanted to hear a bit about your business just because it's, I thought it was quite interesting. Tell me like the typical client that comes in and talks to you. And then, you know, what is the strengths that you guys have for helping them compared to, let's say, your competitors or others that they may, you know, do business with?
Yeah. So we are a financial advice business, holistic financial advice or financial planning. You know, why people might want to work with us or the types of clients that we typically work with are people that are broadly internationally focused. So, you know, a typical client for us could have originally been from the UK, moved to the US, worked there, built up a 401k, IRA, brokerage account, now left the US, maybe working in the Middle East. So they've got assets dotted all over the place, and trying to find one business that can work with them together, you know, work with them with all of their assets is a real struggle for them. You know, you'll always be able to find someone who can help you with your UK or your US assets separately, but trying to combine the two and see what you can do and what assets you should draw from and when, and mapping out a financial journey, taking into account those assets, is really difficult, not to mention the tax aspect and everything else like that. So, you know, our clients tend to be senior managers, you know, board level directors, these kind of things, you know, large businesses that move around a fair bit, you know, have assets that they need looking after because they don't have the time, you know, and they want someone to really help them manage it in the most efficient way.
Within your firm, you have like expertise in global taxation and expertise in asset allocation and expertise in foreign exchange, or I don't know, how does that work?
Exactly. So I think that there's two streams normally to financial advisors. There's one set of guys who are really good at the investments, and there's normally another set of guys who are really good at the planning. And then you've probably got other substreams of that, tax, FX, like you said. So we're really good at the financial planning piece. We deal with that. We outsource our investment management to a business called Addison that, you know, typically run institutional funds. And then we also have a tax section to our business, trusts, wills, legal section to our business, and we're able to combine all of them together to give the client one package rather than me trying to be a jack of all trades, master of none. You know, our advisors specialize in one aspect and then can, you know, help their clients.
I do an asset allocation strategy here with a fintech platform for Thai people in Thailand that want to get exposure outside of Thailand. So it's really stocks, bonds, commodities, gold, and within the stocks, and it's all basically ETFs. Although we execute it through funds here in Thailand. But what I do is I provide that to an institution, the fintech platform that's regulated, and then they vet it and then they offer it to their client base, depending on suitability. And then once a month I go live talking to their client base and talking about the strategy and the changes I've made or not, which I find is, you know, great comfort for them when I talk about it. But oftentimes I have people say to me, so what would be your advice about this? And I always say, well, I'm not your advisor. And I always differentiate that. And one of the things I never particularly enjoyed myself was the financial planning aspect. Okay. I love the stock selection, the ETF selection, the asset allocation part, but I can see. And so in a sense, what I'm doing is outsourcing the rest of it to this fintech platform. And I also work with a local bank here. So they're doing a lot of that same type of stuff. So I now understand your business pretty well.
Yeah. Sounds like, you know.
Yes, I understand it. And so let me ask you, what's a resource that you'd recommend for our listeners, either of your company or any others that you'd like to recommend?
Yeah, so look, a resource that I'd recommend is we've recently launched our Hoxton Wealth app. So it's available on the iTunes or iStore.
App Store.
The Apple App Store, Google Store, and also through our website. It's completely free. But what it enables people to do is if you're in, let's say you're in Thailand, but you've got accounts in the US, you've got maybe got accounts elsewhere, it enables you to live link those accounts and pull them back. You can see them in Thai baht. You can put everything in US dollar, whatever you like. And then we've also got cash flow modeling on there as well, which enables people to see, have I got enough for retirement? Have I got enough to send my kids to uni? You know, run all these different simulations to see whether or not, you know, they have enough, or if they do have enough, have they got how much they've got left to pass to their loved ones later on. We've developed it out. It's completely free. Love you listeners to use it. And you know, would encourage anyone's feedback on anything they think we could do better, because we've just launched it as well.
Right. Okay. It's called, what's the name of it?
The Hoxton Wealth app. If you just go to the store and type Hoxton Wealth, it's in there.
I see it now. And I'll have a link to that in the show notes. So ladies and gentlemen, go there and check it out and see what you can learn from it. All right, last question. What is your number one goal for the next 12 months?
My number one goal for the next 12 months is to launch our wealth app and try and get 100,000 users over the next year. That's our goal. Pretty big goal, but I think with some help, we can get there. And yeah, that's my goal.
That's exciting. I'm looking forward to hearing your progress. And for sure, in a year from now, I think it can be more than 100,000. So push, push, push.
All right,
listeners, there you have it. Another story of loss to keep you winning. Remember, I'm on a mission to help 1 million people reduce risk in their lives. As we conclude, Chris, I want to thank you again for joining the mission. And on behalf of Ace Dots Academy, I hereby award you alumni status for turning your worst investment ever into your best teaching moment. Do you have any parting words for the audience?
Thank you very much for having me on. Really enjoyed it and wishing you all the best.
And that's a wrap on another great story to help us create, grow, and protect our wealth. Fellow risk takers, let's celebrate that today we added one more person to our mission to help 1 million people reduce risk in their lives. This is your worst podcast host, Andrew Stott, saying, I'll see you on the upside.